Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 11. You have very mesmerizing lips. Callista let out a sigh of relief. She removed the thumb ring from her hand and placed it on the table. This thumb ring signified that she was the next mistress of the Fairchild family, and had rights to 20% of the family assets. This ring was coveted by countless women, but yet when Callista removed it, she felt much lighter. Thank you, Mrs. Fairchild. Wanda couldn't bear to part with her. Callie was so obedient and so mature, it hurt her to watch Kalik suffer. She couldn't help but blurt out, even without his engagement, "You must come and visit me often." Suddenly she had an idea. "Or how about I adopt you as my goddaughter?" Callista wanted to reject her at first, but once she thought about how she would benefit from being a goddaughter of the Fairchild family, she hesitated. After all, given her current situation, she would need some assistance. So she did not immediately reject, instead saying with a smile, "This is no small matter. Why don't you decide after discussing with Mr. Fairchild?" Then she stuck her tongue out and said playfully, "If I really become your daughter, I might embarrass the Fairchilds though." Wanda quickly promised her, "There's no problem at all. You're my daughter, how could embarrassment you be?" And the more she thought about it, the more she felt that this would work out. Her husband did not really approve of Callie being his daughter-in-law, but Callie had come to call off the engagement of her own accord today. So if she were to adopt Callie as her goddaughter, her husband wouldn't say anything anymore. Callista smiled and prepared to leave as she had to attend to more things after this, but Wanda couldn't bear the thought of her going back and insisted that she stay and have lunch. Callista thought, "Callum hates sitting at the same table with me, so he's definitely not coming down to eat," and agreed to stay. They chatted for a while more, and Wanda nagged her about many things before finally adjourning to the dining hall. The Fairchilds were extremely wealthy, nobody could deny this. This old mansion stood on more than 2,000 square miles of land, and even simple things like serving trays exuded luxury. There were many who thought that Callista was merely after the family wealth, so even though Callum didn't like her, she held onto this engagement. Perhaps only a small handful of people knew that she genuinely liked Callum for who he was. Even though she looked down on herself and was bullied by many other young ladies, but there was nothing she could do. She really liked him. Perhaps liking him had even drained her lifetime's worth of courage and strength from the weak personality she had, but unfortunately, feelings cannot be forced. After half the dishes were served, Wanda called a servant over. "Call Callum to come down and eat." Callista stopped her, "Mrs. Fairchild, is it okay if it's just both of us for lunch today?" Her eyes pleaded with Wanda, "It's been a long time since I had a good chat with you." The loneliness in her eyes made Wanda's heart ache for her. "She's such a good girl," she thought. "This silly son of mine simply says he doesn't like her, only heaven knows what sort of woman he wants." "All right then," she sighed and then told the servant, "since he is busy, bring the food up to him." After giving instructions, she continued chatting with Callista. They started talking about Callista's late mother, and Callista listened with a smile on her face, and Wanda finally realized the difference about Callista. She was still that gentle and well-mannered girl, but the timid and shy part was gone, as if she had grown up overnight. Wanda figured the two men last night must have really given her a terrible scare, and she was determined to make sure those two were properly dealt with. Just when both of them were talking happily with one another, Callum unexpectedly appeared at the table. Callista's smile froze slightly, and even though it was not obvious in her expression, she was definitely gripping the fork and knife harder. She was still unable to face him calmly. He was her reason to live in her previous life, and also of her life that was never reciprocated. Callum noticed that Callista had become nervous, and he smiled a little, exuding confidence. Today he wore a dark blue shirt and left two buttons undone, revealing his perfect collarbones and the outline of his muscles. As he walked over, his straight and strong long legs were very eye-catching, and it was hard to see him and contain oneself. There was somebody who said Callum was like a diamond, giving off unlimited amounts of heat and brightness. Callista suddenly laughed and relaxed. She knew his heart was as hard as a diamond. Once he had made up his mind on what sort of person you were, his judgment wouldn't change. If he hated you, he would hate you forever. Wanda was shocked that her son came out voluntarily. He had never wanted to come out whenever Callie was around. Anyhow, she still hoped that the two of them could get along. If they really became God brother and God sister, surely they could not continue this cold war forever. Callum threw a glance at Callista but didn't say anything, seating himself down as if he were here just to eat. Wanda realized that as long as she remained at the table, the two wouldn't talk to one another, so she made a big show of saying loudly, "Oh dear. I've forgotten to move the red peace lilies I bought the other day. It rained so heavily last night, what if they've been drenched to death?" She quickly called the two servants standing in the dining hall to help her with moving the plants, and then apologetically said to Callista, "Callie, continue eating first, I'll be right back." Callista smiled awkwardly. How could the servants of this household ever allow these precious flowers to be drenched by the rain? Wanda's excuse wasn't the best, but her good intentions warmed Callista's heart. If only she were Wanda's daughter, but she had no such luck. "Go ahead, Mrs. Fairchild." Wanda nodded, took one glance at her son and then left the room. She had taken all the servants in the dining hall with her, so the large hall was left with only Callum and her. Callista, and there was silence for a while. "Looks like you've changed your strategy." Callista didn't even lift her head in response. Callum lowered his eyes and drank the red wine that was in front of him, looking as if he had guessed it right. "So you've come to call off the engagement, then use my mother's guilt to make you a goddaughter of the Fairchilds." He secretly glanced at Callista, his deep eyes sharp and alert. "You've become quite clever now." Callista continued eating in silence, ignoring everything he said. Callum had never been treated so coldly in his life. He stopped smiling, and the anger he was suppressing began to boil. Trying to play hard to get again. At this, Callista finally put down her fork and looked up at him. Under the thick fringe, her black eyes sparkled like the stars. They were originally a pair of lonely-looking eyes, but now there was an added element of mystery. Callum frowned. He could feel that she was different now, but just couldn't put his finger on it. She got up and walked towards Callum. Callum's fingers held the stem of his crystal wine glass firmly and he eyed her suspiciously. As she walked, the long white dress showed off her perfect curves, and the cinched waist design made her look fragile and pure. She stood in front of Callum and spoke in a dreamy voice, You have really sexy lips. You know. Callum frowned more deeply as he thought, this woman is still the same after all, clinging onto me uselessly. But in the next moment, everything went dark. She had bent over and pressed her cold and wet lips onto his. Send gifts. Chapter 12. The two-faced younger sister. Even though she had only touched his lips for one moment, Callista immediately felt happier. She had wanted to do it since a long time ago but didn't dare to. So now that she wanted to try, why not? She licked her lips, relishing the moment. Just as I thought, you're cuter when you don't say anything. Callista. Callum stood up suddenly. He was definitely not going to admit that he had felt something like electricity passing through him when she kissed him. How could he have such feelings towards such a woman? He was taller than Callista by a head, and his stare was very imposing. You really have no shame. Callista looked up at him innocently. You said I was playing hard to get, so I decided to take some initiative. You said I don't have any shame, so I should take some advantage of you to make this humiliating title worthwhile. You think I'm downright disgusting, so you don't have to appear in front of me in the future, you know. You. Callum narrowed his eyes at her, and shocked to see this darned woman looking excited and provocative. She used to be so clingy and timid. How did she turn into a different person overnight? Unfortunately for him, Wanda came back. She saw them standing next to one another and talking, and couldn't help but smile. What are both of you chatting about? Callum wanted to draw back, but the young lady in front of him beat him to it, and that determination, in her eyes to draw the line clearly with him, made him extremely unhappy. Mrs. Fairchild, Callista smiled gently at Wanda and said, I didn't realize I'd been out for so long. My father must be getting worried, so I will take my leave now. You're leaving already? Wanda's disappointment was written all over her face. She saw her son standing at the side looking extremely annoyed, and she wondered if they had quarreled again. So even though she couldn't bear to let Callista leave, she let her go home. Before leaving, she kept reminding Callista to come to the house often. I will, Mrs. Fairchild. You don't have to see me out, Callista responded obediently. In front of Wanda, she remained to be that gentle and obedient girl. Wanda nodded, sighing in her heart. Callista was such a lovely child, it was a pity that she did not have the privilege of having Callista as her daughter-in-law. The butler arranged for someone to send her home, and Callista did not refuse this offer since she didn't have any money on her. Wasn't that interesting? Who would have thought the eldest daughter of the Staffords did not have a single penny to her name? Any money she had was from her grandparents when she was a child. She used very little and saved up as much as she could. But in the end, she used up all her savings to install the security alarm. Her father never bothered himself with financial matters, and her stepmother obviously did not give her any money. Everything that she used in school were paid for in advance, and even her clothes were low-quality items bought by her stepmother, and they all made her look fat and ugly. She went to school with her sister and they carried the same surname, but nobody knew they were sisters because the difference was just too great. Her father even thought she fancied those clothes, thinking she preferred this conservative look. Whenever Callista had to attend parties, her stepmother would bother dolling her up only for the sake of her own image. Her father would always say that she should wear such pretty clothes more often because she looked nice on them. She always remained silent, because she never had such clothes to wear. The fancy dresses she wore to parties were on loan from her younger sister, but she couldn't bring herself to say so, and she didn't dare to say so. Sitting in the Fairchild family's luxurious car, Callista looked out at the scenery outside, her heart heavy with thoughts. She had been given a second chance at life, so she must cherish this chance to live life independently and true to herself, and not be continually swayed or manipulated by others. But first, she had to be financially independent. Money was necessary for her to carry out her plans. Soon, the car reached a small estate where many well-to-do families lived, and Callista got main gate and walked to her house. Off at the she came to a beautiful European-style bungalow that looked elegant and posh from the outside, but Callista knew how dark and evil it really was inside. She would rather live in that little wooden house on a mountain than come back and live here. But since the wooden house no longer existed, she had no choice but to return to this battlefield and win everything back. Callista had a strange smile on her face, and the maid who opened the door felt her hair standing on end. Miss Callista. Lillian, the maid who opened the door, stuttered because she usually just called Callista Miss, and never called her something like Ms. Callista. But today Callista looked different from before. In the past she always walked with her head low and had no opinions of her own. But today she walked in with her head up and her chest out, still wearing the modified Cheongsam that the Fairchilds had provided for her the night before, and carried an air of elegance around her. The sharp eyes half hidden by her fringe glanced over, which made one shudder. Callista did not stop for even a moment as Lillian addressed her. She walked straight into the house and as expected, Quincy was already waiting for her. The night before, Quincy had come back home and almost immediately pretended to accidentally break the lock of the wooden box in front of her father, thinking that her father would probably allow her to take one or two pieces of jewelry. What she did not expect was that the box was merely full of books. Those books were all out of print books. So when her father saw them he immediately kept them and she wasn't even able to tear them in frustration. She was going to let this anger out on a way. Callista. It was difficult for her to lose her temper in front of her father the night before while they were out, but today he wasn't coming home, so she was ready to see how outrageous this useless sister of hers was going to get. Oh wow. You actually remembered to come home. I thought you were having so much fun out there, you weren't coming back anymore. Quincy stood in Callista's way, her expression provoking. This was her real self, the mature and kind personality was just for show. Callista looked at her and smiled. Looks like you haven't learned your lesson from last night. The moment she mentioned the night before, Quincy started shaking with anger. You little slt, you can really act, huh? I'm sure those two guys weren't decent guys at all. Do you say that nothing happened between three of you during that long period of time? Dare to Callista raised an eyebrow and said calmly, now that you mention them, I was just wondering, there was no enmity between us. Why do you think they purposely looked for me? Why don't I ask Mrs. Fairchild to help me pressure them into saying the reason they did this? What do you think? Quincy's angry and reddened face instantly turned white. She hadn't thought of this. The night before she had thought that since the two of them were arrested for murder, regardless of whether they were put to death or jailed for life, they no longer had anything to do with her. But she had forgotten that Callista would continue to try to prove her innocence. What if Callista really got the Fairchilds to pressure them into confessing and they admitted that she instigated them? When she thought of this possibility, Quincy suddenly became anxious and shouted, "You little slut, don't you think you've been embarrassing enough?" She tried to maintain eye contact with Callista, but her eyes were full of panic. "You'd better not spout nonsense, otherwise I'll make sure to teach you a lesson." "Teach me a lesson." Callista suddenly drew nearer with an aura so oppressive, Quincy couldn't help but take a step back, but Callista grabbed her by the collar. "If I were you, I would be super antsy by now. After all, Mrs. Fairchild said that she would get to the bottom of this matter, so I don't know what she'll hear from these two. She might find out who is this evil person who is trying to harm me." Chapter 13. The First Strike Back. Callista finished talking and loosed her grip. Quincy felt her legs go weak and she collapsed onto the floor. Her face was all white, and when she looked back up at Callista, she suddenly felt fear in her heart. When she thought about the police and what the Fairchilds could do, she became terribly anxious and didn't say any more, instead escaping up the stairs. Callista originally intended to go back to her own room, but then she suddenly smelled something delicious in the kitchen and realized that she hadn't eaten much at Fairchild Manor earlier, plus she went through so much the night before and she was starving now. She made a turn towards the kitchen and saw two maids preparing snacks for tea. "I'm hungry." Callista leaned against the door and suddenly spoke, startling the two maids who were chatting with each other. She didn't wait for their response and continued, "Prepare some food and send it to my room." Quincy had told all the servants to leave the living room earlier, so nobody saw how Callista treated Gone Mad Quincy earlier. So when they heard her give instructions like this, they all thought she had. Unfortunately, she turned and left before they could even react, and they missed their chance to mock her. One of the maids threw her gloves on the kitchen top and said angrily, "Can't she see that we're very busy? Does she really think she's the Ms. Callista now?" The older maid replied, "What does it matter? Isn't there a bit of food left over from lunch? Just pour a bit of soy sauce on it and send it upstairs. She eats anything anyway." She said this mockingly, because Callista of the past never dared to be picky about her food. Of course, Callista had no idea what they were talking about downstairs because she was looking at herself in the mirror, feeling rather strange. She was still young and tender at 18, and even though her thick fringe covered half her face, she still looked fairly sweet. She combed all her hair back and tied it into a high ponytail, revealing her clean forehead and exquisite eyes. Looking back at the transformed young lady in the mirror, she laughed to herself, and thought that she didn't look too bad at all. She used to really hate this straight-cut fringe because it got into her eyes, but she didn't dare to change her hairstyle because her stepmother had said that it looked nice on her. But did it really look nice? Yelena was just afraid that Callista would steal the limelight from Quincy. Just then, someone knocked on the door. When Callista opened the door, there was nobody outside, but there was half a bowl of leftover pasta with some baked beans and tomato sauce left on the floor, and nothing else. She couldn't help but laugh piteously at herself. What sort of life did she used to lead, she thought, aware she couldn't even get to eat warm food. Everybody said the school canteen food was awful, but she thought it was delicious compared to the her father wasn't home. She wasn't even allowed to sit at the terrible things she ate at home. Table. The things she had to eat in a dark corner were possibly even worse than what the security guard's dog ate. Life, if it were her old self, she would have happily eaten everything because she was hungry. But now she knew that if she ate this without saying a word, what she would get in return was not the reputation of being humble and content, instead she would be mocked at for being lowly and desperate. She picked up the bowl and went downstairs and saw that the living room was filled with delicious treats and a fresh cup of Ceylon tea. It seemed like Yelena had just returned home and was all dressed up, anxiously waiting for someone to arrive. The servants pretended not to see Callista and continued to mind their own business. Callista held up to Yelena the bowl of food in her hands and walked right up. Yelena was anxiously trying to settle matters for her daughter. Earlier Quincy had phoned her and said the Fairchilds would continue to investigate what happened the night before and would definitely force the two men to tell the truth. Yelena was nearly driven mad with worries, so she had invited someone who could help to have cups of tea at her house. Seeing Callista appear in front of her at this time made her so furious. Callista is lucky that I don't kill her. How dare she appear in front of me so boldly? Does she think she is still in the Fairchild's house? Yelena raised a finely plucked eyebrow and laughed coldly. Oh, look who we have here, isn't this the Miss Callista of the Staffords? You were so amazing last night. Why, are you here to continue putting on this cool act? Suddenly she realized that Callista had combed her fringe up, and was still wearing last night's dress from the Fairchilds. She looked completely different and Yelena's expression changed. Who allowed you to comb all your hair up? You're dressed so provocatively at such a young age, who are you trying to seduce, huh? Callista stood by the sofa and listened to from what she was in public, and called her calmly. Yelena always behaved very differently at home, had heard things way worse than this when she was younger. Callista laughed as she turned the bowl in her hands. Mrs. Fairchild, is my father on the verge of bankruptcy? I'm the Miss Callista of the Stafford family and I have to eat this sort of CR*P? If we're really so poor, then we shouldn't hire so many servants to pretend we're still rich, just fire some of them. Her sarcastic tone of voice shocked the servants busying themselves in the living room. But none of them panicked because in this house, Callista's words were never taken seriously. Yelena saw that Callista ignored her words and became even angrier. But when she saw the food in Callista's bowl, her mood improved instantly. Why? Can't eat this? There are many out there with no food to eat, you know. Who are you? You're lucky to even have food to eat, and you still want to be. Yelena's cheekbones were very high and they made her look mean when she smiled. At the end of the day, you're an uncultured swine. So you think you've got wings to fly now, huh? Even if you don't want to eat this, you have to eat it. Otherwise forget about having food to eat from now on. Callista looked at all the servants standing by the side watching this show and all the delicious food on the coffee table, and suddenly she felt like challenging her stepmother. What if I refuse? Refuse? Yelena was stunned for a moment, but then her carefully made up face immediately turned threatening. You little punk. You've grown wings and really want to fly, huh? Zoya. Lillian. Ms. Callista here refuses to eat. Shove the food down her throat right now. The two maids mentioned were more than happy to do this. Callista was behaving weirdly today, and they were already annoyed. This was their chance to teach her a lesson, see if she still dared to talk about firing them. No need. Callista unexpectedly stopped them. Yelena thought that Callista was finally scared, and smiled knowingly. She knew it, no matter how much Callista had changed, deep down she was still a useless coward. So she sat down and crossed her legs, sneering. Then eat it now. Eat it here in front of me. After you finish, you'd better lick the bowl clean and make sure you don't leave a single strand of pasta behind. Otherwise, forget about eating any more. Callista didn't look the slightest bit angry when she heard this, and asked gently, "It's too much, what do I do if I can't finish it?" Before Yelena could react, Callista reached out and dumped the contents of the bowl on Yelena's face. She cackled spitefully and said, "So, please eat it for me, Mrs. Stafford." Argh. The pasta and sauce got all over Yelena. She jumped up from her chair and screeched, "Callista? Have you lost your mind?" Chapter 14. The Cousin of Quincy. Callista took one step back and dodged Yelena's attempt to slap her, responding innocently, "I just didn't want the food to go to waste." "Argh. You disgusting child. Why don't you just die?" Yelena then started screaming at the servants. "Are you all blind? This stupid girl has gone insane. Tie her up now." The servants suddenly sprang into action and quickly made a grab for Callista, but they had all forgotten that Callista was very strong. Callista's grandfather wanted her to learn the energy needle technique that was passed down from generation to generation of the Staffords, so he made her train her energy that would help in learning this technique. She trained her energy every day and became very strong as a result. When she saw them coming, Callista turned the marble coffee table over with just one kick. "Let's see who dares to touch me." The glass shattered all over the floor, making everyone present gasp in shock. Yelena stared at Callista with huge eyes as if she didn't know who she was, wondering if she was possessed. Most of the others had the same thoughts as Yelena, but Callista didn't wait for them to react. She stood in the middle of the living room and continued speaking with a smile, "Mrs. Stafford, don't forget, Quincy is still waiting for me to write the thesis that will qualify her for that college. The previous two theses that got awards were all written by me, and this is the last one needed. Or would you rather I go on strike this time?" Yelena was so furious, her eyes nearly falling out of her head. She never expected Callista to turn around and blackmail her. Well, Callista found her face smeared with sauce so hilarious, she continued laughing and said, "You could tie me up, or even kill me, but I guarantee you if you touch a single hair of mine, I won't write that last thesis. Don't you know how capable that daughter of yours really is? Are you sure you want to fight me?" Yelena wanted to make another move but stopped herself when she thought about what Callista said. It was difficult to guarantee a space at the college she wanted to send Quincy to, and so she really did not dare to touch Callista. Callista heard the sound of a car driving in and gave a creepy smile. "You haven't settled last night's matter, right? Your guest is here, and you're going to receive him looking like this." She exerted an invisible pressure with every word, and there was something frightening in the way she smiled. Yelena felt her heart was about to stop and found herself unable to say any more to her. She screeched at the servants, "Hurry up and clear the place. My guest is here." Settling what happened the night before was the most urgent matter at hand. She would come back at Callista later. She glared one last time at Callista, then turned and went upstairs to change. The servants exchanged glances, then scrambled to tidy up the place. This was the first time they saw Callista dare to stand up to Yelena in all their years of employment. Callista smiled as she had guessed who would be coming. So she took a seat and waited to ruin this meeting. The servants quickly brought in a new coffee table and a new pot of coffee. Wyatt Langley came in to see a young lady with a high ponytail and elegant Chong Sam, quietly seated on the white sofa. Her features were exquisite and gave off a gentle air, like ladies in old Chinese paintings were portrayed. Yet in this gentle air there was a prickly sort of atmosphere, and this lady was not as easily bullied as she seemed. It was difficult to imagine someone gentle yet prickly at the same time. When she heard him coming in, Callista did not get up to receive him, but instead just glanced over. Wyatt was surprised to find that she had a very special pair of eyes, each pupil sparkled and was full of mystery, so beautiful he nearly stopped breathing. Yet at the same time he felt a strange feeling in his chest and thought, if only her stare wasn't so cold. Callista guessed it right, if that mother and daughter pair needed someone to shut those two men up, Wyatt would be their best bet. "Have a seat." Callista smiled at him, but he just stood there frozen, as if he didn't know who she was, so she had no choice but to introduce herself, "I'm Callista. Judging from your expression, you don't remember me, huh?" Wyatt was stunned by how beautiful her smile was, then suddenly he realized what she just said. "Callista?" She was Callista? Wyatt furrowed his brow subconsciously. He was Quincy's cousin on Yelena's side of the family, so naturally he had seen Callista before. The Langleys were a very well-to-do family, and even though they were not as wealthy as the Fairchilds, they were still one of the top families. This sort of family would never have allowed their daughter to marry into the Stafford family. But Yelena was an illegitimate daughter of the Langleys, so on the contrary, she had married up. Wyatt was a legitimate heir of the Langleys, so by right, these two should not have had any dealings with one another. But Yelena was very good at gaining others' favor, so even though she was born in such despised circumstances, she made sure to make herself as small and humble as possible in front of the Lynns. Quincy was also an excellent sweet talker, always calling Wyatt her cousin like she was calling an elder brother, and since Wyatt didn't have a younger sister, he was more than happy to treat her like a real younger sister since she always seemed so lovely. Young, and he had seen her from afar several times, and thought that this girl was always very quiet and very rude. But this time she seemed like a completely different person. Wyatt had a curious look on his face. He worked for the police, and was extra wary when he came across anything suspicious. It was just part and parcel of his job. "So it's you," his attitude quickly turned cold and formal, "where's my aunt? And Quincy?" Callista poured him a cup of tea. The entire living room only had two of and it was very quiet. "They suddenly have something on, so they left me here to entertain you." "Well, Officer Langley, the Fairchild sent two murder suspects to your station last night, right?" The moment she mentioned his work, Wyatt immediately put up his guard and his eyes became alert. That case involves several parties and is in the midst of investigation, why do you ask? Callista smiled, don't be so nervous. She took a sip of tea and continued with ease, their ugly deeds were uncovered last night because I overheard them talking about what they did and I exposed them in front of everyone. Mrs. Fairchild, you know, didn't let me go to the police station in order to protect me, but I thought I should let Wyatt's sharp features suddenly turn serious. You mean you heard it with your own ears? Callista nodded. But Wyatt laughed coldly in reply, I don't understand why they would suddenly talk about their crimes, and then you happen to overhear it? What is even more puzzling is why the Fairchilds would hide you away when you're supposedly the main witness. That's because, they were going to rape me when it happened. Callista's calm voice shocked Wyatt, so she smiled and said, they didn't get their way, to protect my reputation, I will not testify. Since you've found the body, it doesn't matter whether I testify or not. The bigger problem is, why did those two men choose me as their victim? A light briefly flashed through her eyes. This is why she called you over today. If she needed someone to shut those two up, you'd be the right person to call. Wyatt immediately understood what she was implying. Are you trying to say my aunt hired them to harm you? Chapter 15. A human head discovered. He snorted when Callista nodded her head in response, thinking that this girl was indeed the way his aunt had described, a compulsive liar. Tell me, why do you think she would do such a thing? Besides, the two men have plenty of money and influence, what would Aunt Yelena bribe them with? Callista sighed quietly, of course she has nothing to offer them, but what about my lovely sister? If money doesn't work, what about sex? Utter nonsense. Wyatt stood up with a deep frown on his face, disagreeing with Callista. Miss Stafford, I know you have issues with Aunt Yelena, after all it is difficult for many children to accept a stepmother. But Quincy is only 17. As her elder sister, how could you say something like that? What does she mean by using sex? He thought to himself. Does Callista think that Quincy could be so scheming at such a young age that she's learned how to use her body to exchange for what she wants? Callista merely blinked. She had anticipated that Wyatt would be unhappy to hear any of this. You can go and interrogate those two and see if I'm telling the truth or not. They're currently detained at your station, right? You, Wyatt hesitated. Since you hesitated, it means that subconsciously you do believe my words, but because you're very attached to Quincy, your first reaction is to doubt me. I have to say, your army training makes you a pretty accurate intuition. Callista was smiling as she said this, and even though it was a compliment, it sounded more like sarcasm. Wyatt furrowed his brows even harder. He didn't think that Callista would simply accuse anyone, but then he also refused to believe that Quincy was that sort of person. He decided not to continue the conversation and turned to leave. Wait up, Callista called out to him. Wyatt ignored her and continued walking. He was already prejudiced against Callista, so he wasn't going to listen to her tell tall tales. But he was useful to Callista, and there was no way she was going to let him leave just like that. Asterisk Officer Langley, regarding the murder case involving a headless female corpse that happened a month ago, no leads yet, right? Callista suddenly said these shocking words as she took a sip of tea and smiled confidently. I have some clues that could help you, are you interested? Wyatt suddenly stopped in his tracks. After a few moments he turned around, frowning, and coldly warned her. Miss Stafford, giving false leads is considered obstruction of justice, and you can be legally charged for doing this. Callista tried her best not to laugh and stood up. Well, I can't convince you with my words, but I could show you. I'm sure Officer Langley is a very professional man, and you wouldn't ignore the chance of getting your hands on evidence because of your own personal prejudice, right? Wyatt felt convinced for the first time, especially as Callista brushed past him. He was unable to think of any counter-argument, and could only follow her out. That case didn't belong to him, but he was very curious to see what the Ms. Callista of the Staffords was trying to do. Their conversation was not very long, so by the time Yelena had calmed down from the fright earlier and changed her clothes to meet Wyatt, the servants told her he had gone out with Callista. When she heard that they had gone out together, Yelena scrambled to call Wyatt, only to find that he had turned off his cell phone. In the car, Wyatt took back his phone with some annoyance. Why did you turn off my phone? We have to be contactable around the clock. Callista simply replied, the place we're going to has a signal detector, so if you bring anything that gives out a signal, the murderer will know. Wyatt couldn't understand, why did Callista seem to know exactly who the murderer was? Was she serious? Or was she faking it? He wondered if Callista had some sort of schizophrenia, and suddenly started regretting coming out with her. All right, here we are, stop the car. Wyatt stopped the car and realized that they had reached the victim's house. Goodness, Wyatt thought to himself, even if Callista wants to trick me, she should at least do a bit of homework. He saw that Callista had already gotten out of the car, so he put a serious face back on, loaded his gun quickly and caught up with her. The two of them looked very conspicuous as they walked along this old street that had vegetable sellers on both sides of the road, the ground all wet, and the air even carried a fishy smell. Wyatt was used to coming to such places due to his work, but he was surprised that Callista just kept walking even though her white high-heeled shoes were dirty and stained. She looked straight ahead and kept walking as if she had walked down this road countless times. She didn't seem bothered by the stares of the people as she walked down the small alley as if she were walking down the corridor of her luxurious palace, exuding elegance and grace. It was little wonder what is it. When she saw that Wyatt was no longer beside her, Callista turned around. The way she looked with her sparkling eyes can take people's breath away. Wyatt was stunned for a few moments, then he suppressed the strange feeling in his heart and followed her upstairs. The victim was a 50-year-old lady, and most people did not get along with her because of her unfriendly personality, especially her children, who seemed to treat her like an enemy. The crime scene was very neat and tidy, with no valuables missing, so the police suspected that this was done by someone familiar to the victim, and possibly by someone who had been offended by her. Wyatt initially thought Callista was headed for the victim's home and was about to tell her that the unit had already been sealed off by the police, but then Callista turned and headed for the unit one floor below the victim's unit. She knocked on the door and made Wyatt panic. This action might alert the murderer. Before he could say anything, Callista bent down and stuck her hairpin into something, causing Wyatt respond in shock, "What are you doing?" Are you trying to break into someone else's private property? He glared at her as if she were a criminal. With those words, Callista had managed to pick the lock successfully. Wyatt's eyes went wide. Was this the eldest daughter of the Staffords or a burglar? Callista entered the house, so he clenched his teeth and went in as well, to find that this was only a regular bachelor apartment, and couldn't understand what this crazy Callista was up to. Callista looked around for a while, then pushed an ordinary bookshelf to the floor. The loud crash of the shelf made Wyatt really angry now, and he couldn't help but shout, "You nuts? This is someone else's house." Before he could finish speaking, he heard a tearing sound and realized Callista had torn off the wallpaper on the wall behind the shelf, revealing a newly plastered wall face. "If I tell you the head of the corpse is here, will you believe me?" Wyatt frowned. "I think you need a psychiatrist. Come with me." He grabbed Callista's hand, but she was stronger than him and pushed him away easily. Her eyes landed on a small hammer in the toolbox in a corner. Taking up the hammer, she smashed it into the wall she had just revealed. This made Wyatt panic even more. "Have you gone mad? This is not just trespassing, it's also willful damage to private property." He couldn't continue talking because the hard hit of the hammer had caused some pieces of the wall to fall to the floor, revealing a white package that had been wrapped with a thick layer of food wrap. Chapter 16. Fix Your Attitude. Callista breathed a sigh of relief and finally smiled. "Do you see it, Officer Langley?" Just in case he wasn't able to see it clearly, she whacked the wall one more time while still facing Wyatt. The bang of the hammer also struck Wyatt's heart. Even more of the wall crumbled and exposed what was inside. It was a human head. Callista saw that Wyatt was in complete shock, so she grinned widely and said with a naughty voice, "I lied to you just now, there's no signal detector here, so you can turn on your phone and call your colleagues, Officer Langley." Wyatt quickly turned on his phone and saw that he had a bunch of missed calls and texts from his aunt and Quincy. Wyatt suddenly understood why Callista lied to him. He had picked up his aunt's call while driving here. He would probably have turned back instead of coming here. Wyatt called the police with mixed feelings in his heart, then instead of calling his aunt back, he asked Callista, "How did you know who the murderer was? And how did you know this was exactly the place where he hid the missing head?" Callista wasn't going to tell him what happened in her previous life. Back then, this murderer did not get caught after his first crime, and so he became bolder and bolder, killing more than 10 others before finally getting arrested. When he was finally arrested, he had calmly recounted how he killed the first person on television. It was actually just an accident. He had gone upstairs at the same time as the victim, and the victim had shouted into the phone, "I have $400,000, but I'd rather die than give it to you." So he thought of just stealing the money and broke into her house after the victim had marketing, but she unexpectedly returned soon after, and he killed her in a panic. Gone, she had bitten him before dying, and he was afraid the police might find some clues in her mouth, so he chopped her head off and hid it in his own house for the next 10 years. This murderer was actually a forensic doctor's assistant, so in order to hide his motive, he used his professional knowledge to clean up the murder scene and did not touch a single cent. After that he wasn't caught, so he suddenly realized that it wasn't so hard to kill someone after all. He said that when he realized this, he also realized he was losing control of himself, and he always wished someone would stop him as he continued killing others over the next 10 years. Callista smiled and thought, "That's why I'm here. I'm here to stop him. Alud Gui told me all this. I don't know why she wanted to tell me, and I don't know where she is either. I'll say the same thing later when they take my statement down." Wyatt clenched his teeth in anger. "Don't you know that I can arrest you for being an accomplice?" Callista smiled confidently, "No, you won't." "On what grounds?" Before Wyatt could finish speaking, his phone changed after the phone call rang and his face immediately. "The owner of this unit is Carson Zabinski, a forensic doctor's assistant. But he's not gone to work for 2 days, which means he's escaped." He suddenly turned to ask Callista seriously, "Do you know where he's gone?" Callista narrowed her eyes and thought for a while before calmly saying, "Perhaps he's found that murdering people is quite fun, and he's now at the next victim's house." "Callista." Wyatt raised his voice. "Someone's life is at stake here. Can you please be more serious?" "Know that." Callista stopped smiling, and her small and delicate face turned cold instantly. "Since you someone's life is at stake, and you need information from me, then you'd better fix that attitude of yours." Her sharp glare made Wyatt take a step back, but Callista didn't bother about his reaction. Instead, she tried to recall what happened back then. She remembered that after Carson had killed his first victim, he committed a crime again less than 1 month later, and the actual date was supposed to be tomorrow. But now that he had gone missing for 2 days, the only explanation was that he had tortured the victim for 2 days in her house before killing her on the third day. This time she was around, so she wasn't going to let a second murder happen. "I don't know exactly where he is," Callista continued without changing her expression. "But I know how to find him. But you have to believe my words first. For starters, don't look at me like that, Officer Langley." Wyatt pursed his lips, as if he was still considering if she was telling the truth. But Callista knew the next victim was awaiting rescue and she had no time to waste. She asked directly, "You should have two phones, right?" Wyatt took a moment to react, then passed his personal phone to her. Before passing it to her, he programmed the speed dial function to call his work phone, so if Callista discovered anything, she could press the button I and be able to contact him immediately. Callista was very satisfied that he finally understood they were racing against time, so she took the phone and said with a smile, "You can get the police to clean this place up, in case Carson comes back and you can arrest him here. I might call you anytime, you'd better make sure you can get to the place where I am as soon as possible." Wyatt nodded. He had a location tracker in his personal phone, but he didn't mention this. Callista stuck out her delicate hand and waved it in front of him. "Well, give me some money to take a cab." Wyatt passed his entire wallet to her, and even though he still felt that this whole situation was very, Callista smiled and turned to leave. In no time the police had surrounded the area, but Callista had already boarded a cab towards another place. "To Royal Cloud's residences, please." Callista saw the luxury apartments in the distance, and a light flashed in her eyes. She was glad for her photographic memory that remembered every single tiny detail. But what she did not expect to see after she got off was a limousine parked at the gate of the estate. She looked through the windows and was shocked that Callum was in the car, his handsome face outshining many celebrities. She opened her eyes wide and asked, "What are you doing here?" In the car, Callum slanted his eyes at her and wondered with a frown, why couldn't he get rid of this woman? "I'm the one who should be asking you that. Did you follow me?" Callista snorted in reply. Just then a man who looked like a bodyguard walked over and told Callum, "Mr. Cahum, Ava isn't at home, and there's no sign of a break-in. There's a note pasted on the door though, and it looks like it was written in a hurry. It says that she's gone back to her hometown for a while and will be back in a few days." Callum furrowed his brows, then quickly said, "Call the police. Ava is not the kind of person who would go missing like this. Call her family, she's still here." Callista suddenly interrupted Callum. Callista looked at him with a look of wonder on her face, "So Ava is your company's head secretary." Back then the news had released the names of all the victims, and did include some information on Ava. The report only said that she was a high-flying career woman, but did not state which company he worked for. "She's Callum's head secretary, what a small world," she thought. Chapter 17. "Give me a few minutes to explain." Callum saw that she was still standing there and even knew Ava's name, and he couldn't help but snort, "And what's that got to do with you? You seem to know the people around me very well, huh?" His tone of voice was demeaning, but Callista had no time to argue with him. She jumped over the car and ran towards the apartments. Saving someone's life was more important. She took a while to locate the right block and go upstairs. She managed to find Ava's unit and knocked on the door, and there was no answer. "It can't be that nobody's here," she thought. She was very sure that Ava had died in her own house. Suddenly she remembered the news had also shown photos of where she died. She had been killed in a very small space, so it was possible that there was a secret room in Ava's house. Ava was the head secretary of a multinational company, and it wasn't safe to just leave documents lying around in her house, so it made sense for her to have a secret room of sorts for this purpose. When Callista thought about this, she became calm because she knew that the murderer might be looking at her right now from behind the door. "Carson, I know you're inside." Her voice was not very loud and this door was fairly soundproof, but he should have been able to hear her. Callista wasn't able to pry open the heavy door that was locked electronically, so the only way was to get someone to open it from the inside. There was no sound coming from inside, but Callista did not become anxious and continued calmly, "The police have already surrounded your house and found the head you hid in the wall. I was the one who called the police, and I've been following you. So now I'm very sure you're inside, are you or you don't want to let me in?" She took out her phone that was actually not turned on, and said, "I've come by myself and want you to talk to you one-on-one. Or do you really want me to call the police?" There was a soft clicking sound as the door unlocked and opened. Callista's heart started pounding. She pushed the door the furthest it could go and saw that the door was completely empty. She took a deep breath and continued walking, and after a few steps, she felt that something was not right. She immediately turned back, but a shadowy figure suddenly jumped down from somewhere and came charging at her with a knife. This person had kept himself suspended above the door with the help of the narrow doorway walls, and was going to kill her without letting her say anything, there was no time for Callista to analyze the situation and she could only use her elbow to block the attack. She was mentally prepared to be hurt, but she was also prepared to return the attack tenfold. But she never felt the pain she had anticipated, because someone came in and pulled her out of harm's way in an instant. Then another person rushed in and kicked Carson to the floor. Clang! The bloodied kitchen knife clattered onto the floor. Carson didn't expect that Callista had not come by herself. He quickly got back on his feet and tried grabbing at someone to hold him hostage, but he was no match for this professional top-level bodyguard. With just a few moves, the bodyguard had pressed Carson firmly against the floor and asked worriedly, "Mr. Callum, are you all right? You're hurt." Callista stared at Callum in shock. She thought he had already left, so why was he here? And more importantly, why did he save her? Callum frowned and pushed her away, saying with some irritation in his voice, "I'm fine." He turned his attention to the man on the floor and demanded an answer from Carson, "Why are you looking for Ava?" Callum could think of a million terrible reasons why this man could have wanted to attack his secretary and glared at him murderously. At this point Carson had not yet become the cold-blooded serial killer who had killed more than 10 victims in previous life, so he was terrified by Callum's glare and stuttered in reply, "She's from the same village as me, but she's so successful now and pretends not to know me." Callum had not thought that the reason was so simple. What a waste of his time. Send him straight to the police. And call an ambulance. Got it? Mr. Callum. Callista had never imagined that the bloody battle she was prepared to fight was settled so easily because of Callum's interference. Color had drained from her face, but Callum had gone looking for Ava in the room. There was a secret room in the house as Callista had thought, and Ava was inside. But her face was pale and she was unconscious. Callum narrowed his eyes. If he hadn't followed Callista upstairs today, Ava would have been found dead here the next day. How was Callista related to Ava? Why did she know who the murderer was? Also, how did she become such a different person? He told himself that he wasn't curious about her, but he was afraid that this change might hurt his mother, and that was an unforgivable crime. Callista walked over as well and saw that Ava was still alive, and breathed a sigh of relief. She looked at Callum and saw that his wound was still bleeding, so she hesitated before saying, "I'll help to dress your wound, no need." He told himself that he saved her earlier because a man should not allow a woman to get hurt and he was sticking to this principle, not because he had changed his opinion about this woman. Callista suddenly scoffed at herself, her heart feeling bitter and thinking she must be nuts to care about whether Callum was dead or alive. The police came in no time, and because it involved his employee, Callum had to go to the police station as well. With him around, Callista was treated especially well. When she saw Wyatt, she returned his wallet to him. Wyatt hesitated, then asked with mixed feelings, "You really have nothing to do with this case?" He still felt that she must be connected somehow. Otherwise how could she have found the killer so quickly? Callista laughed bitterly and replied, "Ask me again when you're not prejudiced against me anymore." Wyatt frowned and said loudly, "I'm not biased, it's a logical assumption." "Logical assumption?" Callista was amused by this and slowly walked closer to him, and said in a low voice, Then why don't you question the murderer first then ask me, huh? Officer Langley. After that she went to the room down the corridor to get her statement recorded, and Callum was already inside. The junior officer taking their statements had no idea that he had a big shot in the room and excused himself to take a phone call, then sheepishly said he had to attend to something else, and a colleague would come and take over. Callum frowned, but before he could say anything, Callista spoke up, "Sure, go ahead and do what you need to do." The officer apologized again before leaving and closed the door behind him, leaving the room with only Callum and Callista inside. The air was very tense, making it hard to breathe. Callum's arm was already bandaged, and he was very unwilling to stay in the same room with Callista, much less wait here awkwardly. So he stood up to go back to the office. After all, if he didn't want to give a statement, nobody would dare to force him to. "Wait, Mr. Callum," Callista suddenly called out after him. Even though he was so bent on leaving just a few moments ago, he still stopped at the door with his back still facing Callista. "Why you hate me? But please give me a few minutes to say a few words, and I promise you that once everything has been cleared up, I won't bother you again." Chapter 18. The past like a needle. Callum tilted his head slightly, his deep-set eyes bright and sharp, and even though there was irritation on his face, he still let go of the door handle in his hands. For some reason, even though Callum was willing to listen to her calmly, she suddenly felt this bitterness in her heart. "Firstly, the biggest reason why you hate me is because you were drugged about 5 months ago, right?" Callista remained seated at the desk and spoke calmly. She was facing Callum, but did not look at him. Callum considered this a taint on his life and started to frown, but before he could respond, Callista looked up and said, "It wasn't me." The meaning of her words were very plain, and Callum suddenly found himself believing her. But no, how could he believe this scheming woman? If it wasn't you, then who else could it be? Callista shook her head at this expected answer. She knew Callum wouldn't believe her based on just one sentence. "That night during the cruise party, you drank the wine that I gave you. But I actually only wanted to chat with you, I didn't know that your drink was drugged." Callum didn't like seeing her back then either, and only started to hate seeing her after what happened that night. Callum laughed coldly, thinking he must be nuts for staying and listening to her spout nonsense. Callista suddenly turned the conversation and said, "Last night I used my phone to hit one of my attackers and he threw it out of the window. Later when you go back, your servants should be able to find it." When she mentioned how she had narrowly escaped the night before, Callum swallowed the sarcastic words that were almost out of his mouth. After all, she did suffer a terrible scare the night before, which was probably the reason why her personality had turned 180 degrees and she was saying these things to him now. Callista continued, "Since I do research on medical science, sometimes an idea just popped up in my mind, so I always keep a small voice recorder on my cell phone keychain." Callum finally turned around, because he figured that Callista wouldn't mention a voice recorder for nothing. "Before the party, Mirabelle came to look for me and said she wanted me to help her create an aphrodisiac that wouldn't do any harm to the body." When he heard Mirabelle's name, Callum's eyebrow twitched and he was ready to berate her, but Callista continued without giving him a chance, "But because nobody had ever asked me to do something like that, I became afraid and I recorded the conversation. Callista laughed bitterly, remembering how her life was completely destroyed the night before in her previous life. The broken phone and the voice recorder were never found in her previous life, but this time she should still be able to find these items in time. Initially, she didn't want to talk about this since she had decided to sever ties with Callum, but she changed her mind. It didn't matter how Callum saw her, but why should she carry this reputation of being a shameless woman for the rest of her life? That night, the wine I gave you was poured by Mirabel. I saw that you started reacting strangely, so I brought you to the room. I could see you were suffering the effects of some sort of drug and I didn't want you to be embarrassed, and so I got everybody else out of the room and took out my acupuncture needles to try controlling the situation, but you threw out my entire bag of needles. I saw that suffering and so I decided to just let you have sex with me. She recounted the night in a matter-of-fact tone, not changing despite the subject matter. Walwer, after that you went to investigate and found out that I had previously created this sort of drug and concluded this must be my evil plan, right? And why did you investigate in the first place? Because Mirabel told you something, didn't she? You can go back and get someone to find that voice recorder, and it will explain everything. Callum clenched his fist and his anger pushed the tension in the room to its limit. So you intend to put the blame on Mirabel? He snorted, Mirabel is such a pure-hearted girl and you have the gall to smear her. Such a pure-hearted girl. Callista laughed, her heart bursting with bitterness, hatred, anger. Yet she laughed harder and harder. In this small room, the two of them were like standing at opposite ends of the same argument, refusing to agree nor give in. So you're going to insist I'm smearing her? I said there's evidence, but you still don't believe me. Callista's smile grew colder and colder, to the point it was bone-chilling. Callum, on the other hand, became angrier and angrier, sarcastically responds, so if we can't find this voice recorder, are you going to say Mirabel is the one who takes it away? Don't forget, she's on a performance tour right now and will only return after a month. Callista didn't know how to describe her feelings anymore. She was on the verge of breaking down and screaming uncontrollably from her anger, but she clenched her teeth and tried to remain calm. Can you tell me why? Her mesmerizing eyes continued to look dead straight at Callum as she asked. She's your childhood, believe her and not me. Because she's more innocent and kinder than you. You can never be compared to her, declared Callum coldly as he opened the door to leave. At this point, Callista finally burst from her rage. With a burst of energy, she managed to push the door shut and slammed Callum against the door. Angry that he had been pushed around like this, Callum pushed her hand away and slammed her against the door instead. He was about to take a step back when Callista grabbed him tightly by the collar, let go. He did not want to resort to hitting a woman. No. Callista was past, she would be stubborn right now, she was truly different from before. In the never had dared to talk like this to Callum, much less treat him like this. Let go. Callum narrowed his eyes and tried to free himself, but he realized Callista was extremely strong, and he would have to injure her to break free from her grip. Damn it, what the hell do you want? He punched the door right next to Callista's car. The overwhelming anger was about to eat Callista up. The two of them were only a few inches apart, and she looked up at him with a look in her eyes that he had never seen before. That deep pain and unwillingness to admit defeat in her eyes was like the look of a vengeful spirit, instantly chilling Callum's heart. Tell me now. What is it that makes you treat me so differently from her? Tell me and I'll let Humph, Callum scoffed and stopped struggling. Instead he pushed her against the door, and his face closer to her, making sure she heard every word he said. Sure, since you don't seem to care, we'll help you remember why. Do you remember? When I was 14, the three of us secretly went to the bungalow in the countryside to play and I fell into the water. You were just next to the pool, but because you were afraid of water, you just stood there and watched me drown. In the last second before host consciousness, all I remember was that weak and cowardly expression on your face. If it wasn't for Mirabelle, I would have died. You tell me, why do I have a fiancé like you? His words shocked Callista, and she looked back at him in horror. Chapter 19. Exposing those shameless lies. But he was not done yet. Callum continued. After being rescued, I ran a very high fever. I was mostly delirious, and it was also Mirabelle who took care of me. And you? Where did you go? In the middle of the night. Mirabelle walked several miles of mountain road to buy me medicine all by herself. But you? You were so scared you ran home by yourself. If it wasn't for Mirabelle, I'd be dead long ago. And now you still dare to ask me why I treat her differently from you. Ha ha, ha ha, ha 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 ha. Callista suddenly burst out laughing. Her eyes immediately became bloodshot, but simply couldn't stop laughing. She was laughing so hard and at such a high pitch, it was as if she had gone crazy. Callum was very angry when he said all that, but was confused at her reaction. What are you laughing, ha ha ha? Callista was barely able to contain her laughter, but she slowly loosened her grip on Callum's collar and her laughter started to lower in pitch, and now she sounded like she was crying. So her love remained unrequited because of this, she thought. What a reason. Back then, it is true I was afraid of the water and would rather die than jump in. She looked up and started recounting what happened calmly. But I saw that you had closed your eyes and was probably going to drown, so at the final moment I jumped in. Callum was stunned by this revelation. I fought back my greatest fear in order to save you. You had already lost consciousness, so you couldn't see how I was trembling all over and nearly couldn't get up. Then Mirabelle came back from picking flowers and seeing that you had fainted, she came over to help me. Callum found it hard to believe what Callista said, because it was completely different from what Mirabelle told him. Mirabelle told him that when she came back from picking flowers, Callista was standing there paralyzed by fear, and she was the one who rescued him in time. Callista slowly calmed herself down, but she was still smiling because it was only now that she found out such a ridiculous thing had happened. After that, you ran a fever, I ran a fever too. But there was no medicine nor cell phone signal in the countryside. Mirabelle said she was afraid of the dark and didn't dare to walk outside by herself, so it was me. I was the one who walked several miles of mountain road with a fever. And in the rain. I walked to the nearest town to buy you medicine. After getting medicine, I took one pill and hailed a cab back to the bungalow. But because I was drenched in the rain, I fainted after passing the medicine to Mirabelle. By the time I woke up, I was in hospital because that kind cab driver had driven me to the hospital after that Mirabel told me that you had fainted and didn't know how much I had suffered to save you. The even said that if you knew you would feel guilty and sad, so I told her it's just a small matter. Callista started laughing uncontrollably again. Now I know, I told her not to tell you what happened, so. She told you that she was the one who did all these things that I did. And then because of this you ways protected her and distanced yourself from me. Ha ha ha, is there anything in the world funnier than this? Enough. Callum suddenly interrupted her, his eyes as sharp as knives. I want proof. Do you have any proof to all you said? Proof. Callista glared as fiercely back at him. Mirabel said she saved you, did you ask her for proof? So you don't have any proof, Callum said as he lowered his eyes, a little unsure of himself. Proof? I have proof. Callista had proof. Do you still remember the medicine bottle? That small town was quite backward, so they gave the medicine in a small paper bag. But it was pouring outside and I was afraid the medicine might get wet, so I got the pharmacist to use an empty milk bottle to contain fever medication and antibiotics. I turned around too fast and fell down in my haste, and because my hands were around the bottle itself didn't break, but the mouth of the bottle cracked. Do you remember? Callum's eyes opened wide. Of course he remembered. In fact, he had asked why the medicine came in this sort of bottle, and Mirabel explained that it was too humid in the countryside and she used this to keep the medicine dry. He didn't think much about or suspected her response, but he did remember clearly that the mouth of the bottle had several hairline cracks. Callista started laughing again, but her eyes were bloodshot and looked frightening. She wasn't even sure whether she was laughing at herself or laughing at others. Do you still need proof? She asked in a hoarse voice. I had dived into water, ran down mountain road, got drenched in the rain and fainted, and almost got pneumonia. If the hospital still keeps their old medical records, you can confirm that I was warded that day. After she finished talking, the entire room was dead silent. Filled with such, the evidence she had provided didn't really prove anything, but her expression was full of sorrow, as if her entire life had been a lie, and she was filled with hatred and indignance. Just then, someone knocked on the door behind Callista, startling both of them. Sorry to interrupt. Officer Wang told me to come and take down your statements. Can I come in? Upon hearing the voice, Callista suddenly threw her arms around Callum's neck and bit down on his lip. She bit him hard and his lip started bleeding. Callum let out a small cry of pain but did not push her away. Her gaze was burning, and her kiss was even more intense than her. One kiss was enough to conquer him. Chapter 19. Exposing those shameless lies. Lifetime, but I don't want you to repay me anymore. Callista spoke slowly into his ear, with her lips stained with his blood, her eyes staring hard into distance so as to prevent her tears from falling. From now on, you and I will go our separate ways. You can forget everything I just said. There's no need to remember, there's no need to prove anything. I wish you and Mirabel eternal bliss. Just as she finished saying what she wanted to say, the person outside opened the door, and got a shock when he saw Callista. Callista's eyes were as frightening as a ghost's. Callista didn't even look at him and ran out. And because she looked so scary, The officer was too frightened to call out after her. Callum remained standing in the room, still trying to sort out his thoughts. Even though Callista had not provided any hard evidence, the pain in her eyes seemed to be enough proof. He was young then, and since it was an accident, there was no real need to investigate anything, so he had always been nice to Mirabelle. But now Callista was telling him that he got the wrong person? The officer who just entered the room could also feel the strange tension and didn't dare to open his mouth. He knew that this man in front of him was an important figure, and wasn't sure if he should still take down his statement. By the time Callista ran out of the police station, it was already nighttime and it was starting to rain. She didn't bother finding shelter because she felt that she really needed the rain to wake her up. In her previous life, she had gone to look for Mirabelle after that fateful night on the cruise, but Mirabelle denied having anything to do with this, saying that she wanted the aphrodisiac for her pet. She also said she didn't know the wine was drugged, saying someone else must have done this and dragged her into it. Callista did not question her words since Mirabelle was a sweet and gentle girl, and it was also true that there were plenty of women who wanted to sleep with Callum. But in the end, if it had not been Mirabelle's betrayal, she wouldn't have been captured by Quincy and sent to that research facility. Now she knew that Mirabelle's concern for her was all a sham. Now she knew how scheming this woman really was. Sendjip 10. Chapter 20. Exposing the hypocrisy of her stepmother. Now she knew she had gotten it wrong all this while, and Mirabelle was scheming beyond her imagination. She used such intelligent tactics, able to lie like this at a tender age of 13. She realized she was lagging far behind in this aspect. The raindrops continued to fall, drenching her hair. Her heart suddenly felt so cold. It was only two nights and a day into her reborn life, and she had seen how evil people could be, and it was truly a tough situation to be in. She lost to these schemers in her previous life because she was always a step too late. She was always too late to see these enemies' true colors, and spent too much time on futile things. Her love for Callum, her affection for her father, her friendship with Mirabelle, they were all in futility. But this time she wasn't going to make the same mistakes. No matter how strong her enemies were, she was going to protect everything that belonged to her. She had dreams, she was still young, it wasn't too late, it wasn't. But why did she feel so miserable? Callista held her hand up to her chest and slowly squatted down on the ground. Hatred, anger, such unnecessary suffering, such unfair defeat, she felt utterly miserable. Suddenly a car stopped next to her and Wyatt hurried over to her. "Hello there, are you okay? It's you." His face grew worried. "Why are you still here? I thought you went back a long time ago." When she heard his voice, Callista slowly pulled herself out from those painfully suppresso and let Wyatt help her to the car. She was all wet, so Wyatt found an extra shirt in the trunk and gave it to her to wear. Callista was quiet and cooperative, like a beautiful marionette. Finally they were set to go, and Wyatt said, "I'll send you home." With that, he started driving toward the Shang house. Suddenly Callista realized she didn't want to go back to the house, because earlier that day Quincy had said that her father wasn't coming home that night, and she would get no peace if she went back. Wyatt shot her a quick glance and asked, "Are you okay?" Callista didn't reply, So he thought for a while and then awkwardly said, "About what happened this afternoon? I'd like to apologize. Those two men are indeed connected to Quincy, but I'm sure there's some misunderstanding somewhere. Carson's case was not under his charge, so in the afternoon he interrogated Zane and Yael, and it turned out that he had really misunderstood Callista." Callista snorted and turned her head towards Wyatt. "You don't have to apologize. You're not related to me, so how you view me or whether you've misunderstood me or not doesn't matter to me." Wyatt frowned and looked a little deflated, and finally managed to squeeze out a response after a while, "Aunt Yelena married into your family, so that makes me your cousin. How can you say we're not related?" Callista laughed when she heard this. She raised an eyebrow and glanced at him. Her features were even more exquisite in the dim light, and her eyes were cold and there was an evil glint in them. "Okay then, my dear cousin, since I helped the police to catch a criminal, do I get any reward?" Wyatt was mesmerized by her smile for a while, before replying in a flat voice, "Some cash and a medal." It wasn't much cash, so this eldest daughter of the Staffords wouldn't care for it, he thought, thinking she would say she wanted the medal. "I want the cash." Callista's words shocked Wyatt. "How much do I get?" Callista asked. Wyatt found this puzzling. Carson was convicted of a violent crime, so the police was willing to give $10,000 as a reward. Callista helped to crack the case even though she was unable to tell the police where she got the clues from, but Mr. Callum had used his influence to protect her from any suspicion that she was connected to the case, so she could have this cash reward. "You get dollar 10,000, Wyatt replied, then couldn't help but ask, "Are you very short on cash? Doesn't my aunt give you $50,000 to spend every month? You're only a student, why do you want so much money for?" Callista knew it was difficult to explain, so she just replied, "Then can you lend me $10,000 first? I need it urgently." This wasn't much money to him. Even if there was no cash reward, if Callista asked him for money he would still give it to her. He was only a policeman, but everyone knew this was just a passing phase. Eventually his position would rise higher and higher, and his family didn't even need the money in the first place. Wyatt took out his long wallet, and there was quite a bit of cash in it. He gave the whole wad to Callista, but she counted out exactly $10,000 and returned him the excess. Wyatt was speechless. It was a bit of a stretch, but they were still considered relatives, and considering that both families were quite well-to-do, did she really have to be so calculative? He was a little disappointed, and felt that Callista was as unfriendly as he had heard. They had almost reached the house when Callista suddenly leaned over and smiled, "Park the car outside, I'll bring you to watch a good show." Wyatt could smell a faint fragrance from her as she drew close to beat very fast, and just nodded without thinking. Him, and he suddenly felt his heart when he came to his senses. He started to worry because he had a hunch that the good show Callista wanted him to watch wasn't anything OD at all. He parked the car in the driveway and was about to knock on the door when Callista stopped him and pointed to the side of the house. "Hide over there." Wyatt walked to the side, not understanding why he was being so obedient. Callista pressed the doorbell and the door opened almost immediately. The person who opened the door was not Lillian, but Yelena. When she saw that Callista was all drenched, Yelena smirked. She hadn't settled her score with Callista yet, and this girl actually dared to come back. "Why did you come back? I thought you had wings to fly. Now you've learned how to threaten others and create rifts between people. What did you tell Wyatt? You think he'll believe you?" Callista quietly replied, "I came back because I don't have any money and I don't have anywhere to go to. If you give me some money, I'll leave immediately." Yelena spat in her face. "Callista must be nuts. Asking her for money. Stupid girl, have you been scared silly by last night of have you gone mad thinking about money? You dare to come here and ask me for money? I've fed you, clothed you, and sent you to school and you still want money? Dream on." Callista laughed bitterly, "You always brag to others about how well you treat me, how much money you give me. Aren't you afraid that one day they'll find out you've never given me money? You've given me cheap clothes to wear and made me eat leftovers. If anyone ever finds out, your reputation will fall to pieces." When Callista mentioned the word reputation, Yelena immediately remembered how embarrassing it was for her the night before. She looked at Callista threateningly, raising her finely trimmed eyebrows. "Good on you, stupid girl. Go ahead and tell everyone, I'll see who will believe you. All these years they've cemented their image of you already. You can go ahead and say anything you want, they'll just think you're lying." Callista laughed as she shook her head, "Since you dare to talk to me like this, I suppose you've found someone to write an excellent thesis for Quincy. As the saying goes, spare the rod and spoil the child. Quincy has been so spoiled by you she's as good as useless. Even if she does enter the college easily, she'll do badly there." Yelena was almost driven to her death by these words Callista used to just remain silent, and her very presence annoyed her. But now Callista was like a crazy person saying anything she wanted, and it